Again, good morning. My name is Stephen Bollinger, and I'm on the communications team here at CTK, not the worship team. We try to be very flexible here at Christ the King. You never know what those trains are going to do. I'm probably the only millennial you'll meet that uses his phone for everything but pages for a message, right? I don't know about you, but I love to trust God, but I don't trust batteries. And if God disappears, I'm in big trouble. So the sermon goes with paper notes. But again, welcome here. Welcome to Christ the King. We are glad you're here with us today. You guys are the brave ones. You're not only coming to church on Sunday, you're coming back tomorrow. What's up? Come on. 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock. But we look forward to seeing you then. Pastor Craig's got an awesome message cooked up for you. He's been working on it all week, as I've only been working on this one for like a day. But it's going to be great. It's going to be cool. And we're going to get through it. But again, welcome here. Anybody's December go by really quick? Yeah? Like it started yesterday and now it's the 30th. Almost like that kind of feeling. I know I run a small coffee company as a day job, and it feel like every year we start marketing Christmas packages and stuff earlier, right? Like I feel like we started like before Thanksgiving, maybe October, like Halloween. It was like, hey, I love your outfit. By the way, have you thought of Christmas yet? You know, and you get into all these things and it gets so busy. Next year I'm going to have to start on the 4th of July. We'll just start slinging Christmas coffee then. But it gets busy, doesn't it? Like leading up to it, all the stuff that surrounds Christmas, you know, whether it's the shopping, the projects, the lights on the house, the things going on at church, the family coming into town, the holiday parties with work. I mean, am I hitting on something here? The time flies. And I love what Michelle said earlier. I think it sometimes gets stressful. And I think we lose sight of why we're here. Do I sound really loud to you guys or just me? No? Awesome. Cool. I'm not used to this. This is really neat. They give me my own mic. I can go far away or close up. It's tempting. But no, we get really busy in the Christmas season, and I think it all builds up to this one day, right? And it's this huge build-up and build-up and build-up, and we're going and we're going and we're going and we're running, and at the end of the day, we're like, well, why are we running? Why are we doing this? Because for the world, it's one day. We come to church tomorrow, we have Christmas Day, we open presents, and then it's on to New Year's. It's on to 2019, it's on to the next big thing, and it's over. And sometimes I feel like that's a really depressing thing, right? Like we're getting so busy and so worked up, and we're looking forward to the time off, and then all of a sudden everything's gone, and we're back into the rhythm of our day-to-day life. But what I want to talk to you today about, as Pastor Craig gave me this title to talk on, he's like, here's your potential titles. The one I chose was Making Sense of God. Yeah, I know. We're not going to get through it today. I'm only human. I don't even pretend to know what God's thinking about or who he is in all his complexity. But I think we do get a chance today to make sense of Christmas, right? And to make sense of it in a way where it's not just a day. Where it's a feeling and experience that lasts the whole year long. Sorry, I'm really scared. I'm going to get really excited and just knock this thing into those candles. So I'm going to scoot back a bit. But I do want to start way back in the beginning. And truly in the beginning, I want to take today and I want to start in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to pick up Genesis on the sixth day. So the first 5 days, God created the earth and everything that's in it. And on the sixth day, we come into the picture, right? It's our day. We're the sixth day. You know, but we're going to pick it up in verse 26. If you want to read along with me, it should be on the screen behind me as well. It says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. I've given you every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So everything that has life is essentially taken care of. And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the end of the sixth day. And as we all know, the seventh day of creation was our first day, and we rested. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could have just stayed there? Just dwell with God on that first day, where he breathed life into us, and everything was still, everything was as it should be. That we have this world, this earth, just as it is now, with us in it as human beings, but yet everything is still perfect. Everything's just how God intended it to be, right? But that's what I want to dig into today. Because I think even before we come to church tomorrow to celebrate Christ coming as a baby in a manger, this is where Christmas begins. Right? This is where Christmas starts. Because from the sixth day on, as we fall away from God, the whole passion and pursuit of God throughout the scriptures, all the way to today, us sitting in this room and worshiping him and coming back to him and him pursuing our life, starts here because he wants us back in this place. He wants us to be his again. Can I be real with you guys? Just a little bit. Judgment-free zone, right? Maybe. We'll see. So part of the coffee company leading up to the holidays is super busy. Anybody in retail? Anybody ever been in retail? You know what I mean. It's chaos. It's madness. And to try to prepare this message and do all this stuff, it's just super, super busy. So this past Tuesday, the 18th, is like our D-Day. Or the day of no return, right? So we have all these orders coming in for Christmas, and we have to ship these things out. And we're not Amazon, so we don't get free two-day shipping. But we roast the coffees 2 days before you order. Just a shameless plug there. But we're trying to get this stuff out on Tuesday to try to get it there by Christmas, right? So we're not having to pay hundreds of dollars or sign away our firstborn to get some guy at UPS to drop it off in California. But we're super, I wouldn't say stressed, but bottled up maybe, you know? Like the eye starts to twitch, sort of walking around with a limp. It's everything's building up. But the funny thing is, on December 1st, we started doing some Christmas markets, and we started trying to get out more in the community. And God really put it on my heart to say, why don't you take the community you feel in church, and why don't you live that out in your business world? Instead of just chasing another sale, instead of trying to grow a company, why don't you take a second and grow your clients, grow people? Because God loved you, why can't you love them? So I've tried to make an initiative in December to really invite people in and say, hey, come see who we are. If you love our mission, that's awesome. Come spend time with us. Come hang out with us. And everyone's like, this guy is weird. All I want to do is buy coffee and get out of here, you know? But so we're doing this, and of course, as you guys know, right, everything comes to a head at the time you don't want it to come together. So what happens Tuesday morning when you go to the office, you know, at 7:30 and there's two cars, like, idling out in front? You know, there's really two things that can happen off of Crompton Street. You think I get jumped, or it's people wanting coffee. Thank God it was the second, right? So we roll up, and there's like, hey, is the coffee shop open? I was like, guys, no, this is not a shop. This is just, we're doing this thing, and we're feeding kids, and, oh, okay, well, can we hang out? Yes. Fine. They'll probably stay 15 minutes. This was noon. 4 hours later, they're still there hanging out. I'm like, don't you work? Like, come on. We got packages to ship. You know, and being real, like, noon came, like, 1 o'clock rolls around, Craig swings by to start working on his Christmas message, drinking all this stuff, and we have, like, there's, like, 20-some-odd people in this office. And this is not a big office, and we're trying to ship packages, right? And can I be real? I'm like, leave! I don't want community anymore. Like, I got stuff to do. But like God always does, I'm standing there in a corner, and I try not to explode, just taking it all in. And all of a sudden, this barista at a coffee shop over in Belmont just starts sharing his testimony. And these 20-some-odd people just start coming around and listening. And the whole atmosphere is transformed. And God just laid it on my heart today of what I was to talk to you about. And it was this: as I stood there next to the stairs, livid that these people wouldn't leave, God goes, "Stephen, relax, sit down, and shut up. Watch this." You know, like he always does. I stayed standing that time, but all these people were gathered around. All totally different, total walks of life. Business professionals, baristas, moms, dads, pastors, anybody in between. But they're all enjoying community. And they're all there talking, bringing their aspects of life. A little weird, but cool, they're there. But they're all unique and perfectly made in God's eyes. And what Dave shared in his testimony was that no one will ever be too different, because we're all loved unconditionally by God. And if that love can cover all of us, then in the end, we're all the same, right? So that's what I want to share with you today. If you don't get anything else out of today's message, you are God's masterpiece. From the sixth day of creation onward, you are God's masterpiece. Do you understand me, church? Can you put it in context? I am God's masterpiece. Can you repeat after me? I am God's masterpiece. Try it again. I am God's masterpiece. I can see your heads getting bigger already, you know? But no, I think we really got to understand that, because if we believe that we are the masterpiece of God, that he created earth for us to be in it, to rule over it, and to have a perfect relationship with him, then Christmas starts making sense. And Christmas starts lasting for more than just a day. Christmas starts being a daily thing. You see, from Genesis 1 onward, then, God's goal is to get us back to where we all began. To get us back to the place where we have no baggage. You know what I'm talking about? No brokenness. None of the scars that the world puts on us. None of the hurts that we've experienced in relationships that we have. Right? God wants his masterpiece, but guess what? He's willing to meet us where we are. And he's willing to help us get back there. And I think that's really what I want to hit on today, is that since we're the masterpiece of God, from the beginning of time in Genesis all the way until today, more than 4,000 years later, there's a thread of promise that just rolls through the scriptures. And it's a promise that it was never broken. And it's a covenant that was fulfilled. And not to knock off another certain Charlotte church with a pastor named Furtick, but the promise still stands, right? Great is your faithful. No, I won't sing it. It's fine. But the promise still stands. It goes from the beginning of Scripture to Christmas, to the death of Christ on a cross, to where we are now, to Jesus coming back. The whole goal is that God would get you back, because you are God's masterpiece, right? And I want to dig into scriptures a little bit, primarily in Romans chapter 5. And the verse I want to look at is Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But I want to catch it in context, because I want to make sure we get sort of what's leading into the verse and what's leading out. Because sometimes you can take a verse, just one verse, and use it for anything. And I really think that in the scriptures, scripture is referenced back to other things, but there's certain chunks where if we read the whole thing, it really wraps our head around what God's trying to tell us. And in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6, Paul's talking to the church. And it says this: it says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time, and he died for us sinners. So now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a friend, family, or a person that's especially good. But here's verse 8: but God showed his great love for us by sending his son Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation." Other scriptures read judgment. "For since our," listen to this, "friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still enemies of God, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son." So now that we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ, read this, has made us friends with God once more. Or this scripture reads, friends of God. Did God wait for us to stop sinning to come? No. Thank God, right? Like literally, who knows? Like we never would have gotten there. But he came in the midst of the world, just like he comes in the midst of our world now as we remember Christmas. And he shakes it up. And he takes all the sin that rules our life, as Craig talked about last week, and gives us the choice now through his son Christ, because we're now made new, to either follow in our sinful nature, but we can now turn back to God. We have the power through Christ to choose not to live that way. And I guess what I'm trying to say is the story doesn't start tomorrow with a couple having a baby. The story started long ago. The story started from creation to a couple that couldn't have a baby, with Abram and Sarai, with God promising a son, and he'd be the father of many nations. And then following that lineage through David and Joseph, and then Jesus coming, there's a promise that goes through scriptures, all through scriptures, for one purpose: to reach you and to reach me. Number two on your notes today is God's love and pursuit of your life never ends. He comes into the midst of where you are. He doesn't wait for an opportune time. He started chasing you as soon as he made you, and he'll never stop until he has you. If you guys have ever prayed a prayer to ask God into your life, has anybody ever done that? I know I've done it here a couple times, just to ask God in my life and start a walk with him. Anybody ever prayed that prayer multiple times because you weren't really sure if it worked? Yeah? Okay. You know, I remember being in high school, and it's like 4 weeks in a row, I'm like, okay, I did it, but maybe I didn't say it quite right last week because I don't feel any different. So I'll say it again, and then we had this like Teens Encounter Christ conference, and I said it again, and I realized it doesn't matter how much times I say it. God's still pursuing me. The difference is, scriptures say, I stand at the door and knock, and if you'll come in, I will dwell within your house. Just because we don't invite Christ in doesn't mean he doesn't pursue your life. And doesn't mean he's not working in the lives of those around you to bring him closer, bring you closer to him. You know, Jesus came to reach you, and he won't stop until he does. But some people might say, well, then, well, why did Jesus have to die? If God created the earth and he created us, and he's the author of life, and he's all-powerful, then why couldn't he just say, hey, sin's done? Anybody ever read the Old Testament? I've never made it through the whole thing. I get stuck in Numbers. It's just super boring, but I'm really trying to get there. But in the Old Testament, you always hear about the animal sacrifices, about God putting the sins of people in animals. You sacrifice the animal, then you're made right with God, you know? And I think God just really wants us to have chicken. You know, Chick-fil-A, you got to get it on Saturday because you always want it Sunday. We're going to run out of meat if we keep killing animals. So he sent, no, I'm just kidding. He sent Jesus to die, but he didn't do that to do that. He sent him because that was God's way of showing us how much he cared. Because to demonstrate love takes sacrifice. Is anybody a parent in the audience? Want to be a parent? Had any kind of relationship ever? Okay, no, really? I'm sorry, guys. There's free community here on Sundays and through the week with Act to Thrive. But oftentimes, to display love, it takes sacrifice. Any meaningful relationship, some of the toughest times in that relationship is when you have to sacrifice to show your love to somebody else. Or maybe that's just tough for us humans. I'm sure for God, it's not a big deal because he loves us so much. But sometimes sacrifice really defines our love, but it also shows others how much we love them. So Jesus came and he died, not because God didn't have the power to just wipe out sin. Jesus came and he died so that God could show us how much he loved us. And so that we, as mere humans, you know, as the priest said when Jesus walked the earth, you know, no mere mortal has the power to forgive sins. And Jesus said, okay, which is easier? Your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk, as he was healing the cripple. And he said, just to show that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins, get up and walk, your sins are forgiven. He didn't send a messenger. He sent his son. He sent himself. God pursues us. And he pursues us even though we have issues, right? He pursues us through our junk. He pursues us through our brokenness, which leads us into Romans chapter 8, which is the core passage for today. On your sermon notes today, you have a thing that says core passage, Romans 8, 1 through 4, and then there's this tiny little sentence afterwards. I can guarantee you that's not four verses. That's a different scripture, because when you copy and paste your sermon notes and forget to delete part of it, that's from a sermon I preached like last year. So your trivia for the week is to figure out where that came from. It could be Psalm 23. But Romans 8, 1 through 4, I want to get back to this real quick. It reads this. So now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. And the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He didn't change his laws. He kept them and fulfilled them. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer have to follow our sinful nature, but instead can follow the Spirit. If you were here last week, Pastor Craig talked about the power of Jesus coming into our lives, that we now have a choice, but it also shows the power of Christ coming into where we are. We don't have to be perfect for Christ to pursue us, for him to meet us at Christmas and start a journey with us. He comes in and he transforms who we are. Because if we're coming into this holiday season and we're feeling just like God isn't here and that the stuff's getting too busy or that Christmas isn't as fun as it used to be, maybe it's because we feel unloved. And sometimes we feel unloved because we lose sight of God's relationship with us. We lose sight of the whole purpose and the meaning behind Christmas, right? As I was talking with Pastor Craig this week about this message, he gave me a topic, and then he gave me like 7 pages of brain blast, you know? And it was awesome, and I was like, it's going to be so easy to craft a message. And I start reading it, and I'm like, holy cow, this is a lot of information. You know what I'm talking about? Like, he had this like whole lineage thing mapped out, and I'm like, I can't do this. I need like a pie chart, like, you know? But he said one thing that stuck with me. And I was really tempted to just say this and walk off the stage, but he said I had to preach for 30 minutes, so I'm trying to make it work. But he said, God comes into where we meet us, but how would we know where we stand with God if God didn't come down and stand with us? You know, if God said, hey, we're done with these animal sacrifices. We're done killing animals to get you back to me. This Old Testament stuff is out. I'm going to send a messenger to tell you that your sins are forgiven and that you're made right. And I'm going to just mark out this law that says I'm not sinful and I'll just accept you as you are. He could have done it because he's God. But God being perfect and sinless and wanting to have a relationship with us, if you remember in Romans 8, reads, we are now made friends with God once more, and our relationship's reestablished. God said, no, I'm not going to send someone. I send an angel to tell you that I'm coming, but it's going to be me. It's going to be only me, and I'm going to be living how you live. I'm going to meet you where you are. No, I'm not going to give in to sin like you guys do, but I want to feel what you feel. I want to feel the pressures. I want to feel the brokenness. I want to feel the pain of dying on a cross for you. Because I want to show you what you mean to me. I want to stand next to you. And I want you to remember that I was there. And that I will always be there. Because Jesus came and died on the cross, not to show God how far he was willing to go, but to show us how far he's willing to go. God wanted to come himself and see our lives change through giving of his life. And he wanted to show us that he doesn't just want part of us. He wants all of us. He doesn't want the part that's perfect. He wants the part that's broken. You see, our God likes a mess because he's a romantic God. I may get sick of Hallmark movies, but I think God wrote them. You know what I mean? Like, he always comes through when it matters. Even if it's unrealistic and there's snow and it's a Corvette going up a hill, it doesn't work, but okay, I can buy it, you know? But God comes through, and he comes through in a way that's almost unfathomable for us human beings. He comes with us at Christmas. And while we celebrate Jesus being born in a manger, the true celebration, I think the true happiness comes with knowing that he did it for you. He did it for me. I think the ironic thing is God needs Christmas to show the world how great his love is. We enjoy Christmas because it brings sometimes generosity. It brings love. It brings joy. It brings relationships. Welcome to all you guys on Facebook Live. Sorry I didn't greet you earlier. I forgot. But he brings that here. Sorry, that was really random. My apologies. But he comes into where we are in the midst of whether our Christmas is perfect or not, because he shows us how much he cares. I know some of you guys are parents out there. I know I'm a dog owner. I think it's something that correlates a little bit, maybe. I don't know. But I know with my parents, I ask, you know, have you ever thought to yourself, like, if my kids just knew how much I love them, if they could only fathom how much I love them or why I do what I do, or if they could just think like I think, you know, yeah, then life would be easy, right? Or maybe it'd be worse, who knows? I know my parents probably are like, what is this kid thinking when I burned off my eyebrows with a potato gun or hit my dad in the head with a rock as I was growing up? You know, there's so many stories that we could get into, but they're not anywhere related to this message. But you get those thoughts of just, what would it take for these people to know how much I care? And I think that's what Christmas is to God. Christmas is God's demonstration to us of how much he cares. And Christmas is God's ongoing commitment to us that he's going to bring us back to him. And this is the way it's going to happen. You see, the irony about Christmas is we're an imperfect people, right? As humanity, we sin, we fell away. I know I sin. I still struggle with sin. But we chase a perfect God, but yet a God that's never broken a promise, a God that's never let anybody down, we want to see proof. We want to see Jesus born in a manger. We put him on a cross. But the cool thing is God knew that would happen. You know, we're the ones that need to see to believe. God's perfect. We needed to know the whole story. We needed to see the end game. We needed to know what the story's about. And the funny thing is, it's all about us. And yet we still believe that God didn't care until Jesus came, until God came as a person. That an imperfect people needs Christmas to be able to trust a perfect God. But that God would look down at humanity, look down at us today, and see all our sinfulness, see how we've disrespected him, how we've walked away, how we've taken his name in vain, how we've cursed him when life is not going how we want it to, and while we yell at him because he's not here when life goes wrong, but yet he's still by our side each and every day saying, hey, I'm here, just look up, look up, look up, quit looking down, look at me, I'm here. And yet we still say, God, I don't feel you. God, I don't see you. But guess what? God came and he stood with us. And he meets us in our time of need, does he not? He steps down into our unfaithfulness. He stepped down into the broken world where we live, where we dwell a lot of the time. And he comes in and he heals our brokenness. And he takes the wounds that we put in ourselves, and he stitches them up, and he makes them scars to be used for his glory and a testimony of something that only he can do. And he loves us through the brokenness. He lifts us out of the valleys of life. He tears down the walls we build up, does he not? Does he halt addiction? Yes. He makes our hearts feel again, makes our relationships come alive again, makes our marriages whole and real. Why? Because you're God's masterpiece, church. We're God's masterpiece. If you believe that, can you lift up some praise this morning? Because that's what I got for you. And I really hope it rings true this Christmas. And as you hear Pastor Craig's message tomorrow, it's going to be amazing. But God's Son came down for you so that you could feel love, that you could know true love, that you could experience His love this holiday season. So just take a minute and just pray about that. God, we come to you. I don't think, God, ever fully being able to comprehend how much you love us. But maybe we can get a glimpse or a little understanding. Or you work in our lives in a way where we can see it. So, God, we just pray for, God, the people that are going to be here this Christmas. We pray for the people that aren't going to be here. The ones that might be traveling, the ones that may never set foot in a church, that may never experience your love, Father, we pray that the impossible would become possible. Just as Jesus was born of a virgin, fully God and fully man, we pray that you would meet us today. That you would meet us not in the places where we want everybody to see, but in the places that we don't want everyone to see. And that you would wipe away all that brokenness. And that you could come in and piece our life back together so that we would feel love once more. And that we could look to you once more as your masterpiece. Pieced together, a little cracked, a little broken, but your masterpiece all the same and beautiful in your eyes. So God, we just lift our hands to you today. We lift our hearts to you. And we just ask you to come. It's in your name. Amen.